about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, I'm Joanna Rohrbeck of Prancercise LLC, and I'm here today to show you the four modes of Prancercise. I've got my ankle weights in place, and my music's ready. So let's stop talking and do some walking.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe. Radar has reached the moon. Now radio has mothered television, and the future promises even more startling things to come.
No one cares about radio.
Do you have a tattoo?
I do not have a tattoo, thanks for asking.
What would you think of somebody who got a tattoo of Queen Elizabeth?
I would think that it's exactly what one should do, and it shows the kind of respect that the woman deserves.
Not the answer I was thinking.
Thank you.
Wow.
And now.
Take it out of there. It's not where it goes.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show this time for a Thursday, the 28th of February. Hey, fam.
Hi.
Wait, is that Bean 9 from Instagram fame?
Look.
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 Why more tears?
Everybody's been trying to get me to get on Instagram because that's where the people are.
Uh-huh.
And I've been supporting my Twitter because that's where my money is.
Mm-hmm.
So Christine in particular and my wife and others have said, you're missing out on so much. There's so much more, you know, and I see that because, you know, I'll put something up on Twitter and a couple of hundred people will interact. And then over on the Kevin and Bean Instagram, a couple of thousand people will interact. Mm-hmm. So I know that's where the folks are. So I said, well, I gotta look into this Instagram thing. Apparently, it's not a fad. Apparently, mm-hmm. it's here to stay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I started doing some research and found out that I had an Instagram account
uh-huh.
for 7 years.
Okay.
And forgot about it.
Right.
7 years. So long story short, I was able to get into it, get a new password, mm-hmm. log in, and it turns out that I put up photos back in 2011.
Uh-huh.
And then just promptly said, oh, I guess I won't use that anymore.
With no fanfare, just stop putting photos up.
And there was no text or anything like that. I was just putting photos up. And by the way, account was private, and mm-hmm. I followed no one and had no followers. So I don't know why I was even putting photos up, because I was the only person who would see them.
Yeah, you were throwing photos into a toilet.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So yesterday, I worked it out. And reactivated the account, I guess, and posted my first Instagram.
And now you can finally accept all those tummy tea ads that you
yeah.
get. Like, you get all those requests, and now you can finally do it.
Well, I'm sure looking forward to that. You make it sound fun.
It's very fun.
Bean, you have 7,143 followers in 12 hours.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I have not looked at it.
It's a lot of responsibility.
You also have a lot to answer for.
Oh, no.
Because I posted that you had joined.
Am I in trouble?
First of all, everyone's like, oh, because your name is Bean, then the number 9. Were there 8 other Beans? And I said, oh, I thought it was just a benign joke.
Oh,
is
no.
it not?
No, it's not at all.
Okay.
But
I gave
you
too much credit.
I also can't tell you where it came from.
Okay.
I don't remember. I have already, just so you know, mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was, and I'm trying to change my Twitter name also to my real name.
Okay.
So I wrote to 2 different people with Gene Baxter Instagram accounts, mm-hmm. neither of which are very active, one of which hasn't posted ever, and to see if I can get that name. So hopefully B9 will be temporary.
Okay.
Okay.
Second question. A lot of people wondering, your first 2 pictures seem to be you very bloody and Donna very bloody. What happened in 2011? I'm not kidding.
I mean, you're messing
I'm
with
not
a,
kidding.
A true crime fan over here
what's
who's
happening?
Already put together probably a full story as
you
to what's going
no
on.
No idea.
So from 2011, so there's a photo of me with blood all over my face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why did I leave that one up?
It's your first photo, and then your second photo, Donna's hands all bloody.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that? Was that a bad date?
Oh my God.
I don't think it was murder.
I think it might have been. happened?
I don't think it was murder. Yeah,
are you guys, is that why you moved to New Orleans? You killed too many people in Washington State?
Well, the police were starting to circle. Sure, you know, they were starting to get close, put the pieces together. You know what? I'm going to have to ask Donna about that.
How
she might remember.
How would you not remember?
He didn't know he had an Instagram.
I didn't know because it was seven years ago. Look, do you remember every time your family was covered in blood from 7 years ago?
Yeah. No. Yes.
Oh, I do.
Here's another thing. I bet you know every member of Earth, Wind, and Fire if I were to ask you to quit, if I were to quiz you right now.
I know some of them, but okay. my point is...
You were bloody and then put it on Instagram.
Yeah, why did I do that?
You honestly, this is a memento thing where you're going to find out you and Donna murdered a whole family that lives near you.
I hope that's not true. That'd be kind of a bummer.
Murder.
And then the next picture, my favorite, is bloody mouth, bloody hands, and then the next one, an old-fashioned ice cream truck. Like, don't worry about the other two. Ice cream. Look over here.
It was an odd collection of photos from back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very artsy, though. Well, except for the murder, but...
Yeah. Except for the murder, yeah.
Yeah.
But have I – now you're telling me I have 7,000 followers. All right,
over 7,000. And this is before we talked about it on air, so prepare.
Right.
7,000 co-conspirators in murder.
Yeah.
Have I opened up the Pandora's box? Did I make a mistake by getting on Instagram? Is it now going to be a big hassle that I'm not going to want to have anything to do with? Is it too much responsibility, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, post a picture, Bean.
Yeah.
I mean.
Am I making it sound tougher than it is?
Yes.
But remember, it is different than Twitter. You know, you can't just like be willy-nilly posting stuff. Instagram's a little more selective, right?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think people look for like reasons to post. Instagram stories is probably a little more casual. But as far as on posting pictures on Instagram, they got to be like kind of spaced out, right?
Yeah. If you're posting like 30 pictures a day, I'm unfollowing you because you have no life and it's troubling to me.
Well, I mean, I only tweet a couple of times a day, too.
True.
Well,
yeah, that would still be probably too much on Instagram a couple of times
really?
A day. Yeah.
See, I got to learn all the rules.
Yeah, calm your tees.
Etiquette.
Now, Allie, when you, and I'm sorry if this is inside baseball, no one cares, but since you brought it up, when you posted the announcement that I was on Instagram yesterday, you made that a story. Now,
I also posted it to my wall in my stories, which is
I don't know what a story is and I don't know what a wall
those
is.
Those are the 15-second clips that you can go through and people will post either a video or a picture with a song, different emojis. So the stories are your avatar, that circle picture.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on the circle picture of people and it has a red little thing around it, that means they have a story that stays up 24 hours. It's 15 seconds and just story after story after story.
This is honestly giving me PTSD because I've had this conversation with my mom 7 times.
Well, you're having it with your dad now.
Yeah.
Wait, it only stays up for 24 hours?
Yes.
Yeah.
The stories. But on the wall.
But the one you posted of like... you know, bloody hands when you murdered someone. That'll
be
up forever.
So that's
the prosecutors can talk about it a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's the story. And the wall is just all of your photos.
Yeah. Yes. So if you go to the little home icon on the far left bottom, you'll see everybody's feed there. So all their wall feeds. But then at the very top, it's all the circles. Those are all people's stories.
Okay.
And honestly, people like stories more, it seems.
Yeah, people look at more stories than they look at the wall.
Yeah. Welcome to hell.
Maybe it is a lot.
I'm looking for something. You hang on here.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to literally will be the bane of your existence.
I really thought he did Bean 9, so it would be like benign.
I thought it was like Bean 9 from outer space, like Plan 9 or something.
Oh.
Who's Bean 8?
Look, I don't remember murdering all those people. How
That's
do you think
true.
I remember
That's a good point.
Coming up with my Instagram name? All right, so apparently it is Bean 9, and if anyone cares, they can go there.
Yeah.
It's a good way to sell it. Yep.
Well, I don't know how committed I am to it, but I felt like at some point I had to be dragged into the 21st century.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
All right. Do we use up all the time or do we have time
for the thing? We got time for the thing.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The number one thing that people complain about living in Southern California, many people love Southern California. I know I'm talking to a room full of locals and natives.
Mm-hmm.
Would never live anywhere else, right?
That's me.
What's the one thing that everybody agrees on is the downside of living in Southern California?
It's got to be traffic, yeah.
Now, what if there was a way that you could get to work every day without any traffic at all? It seems almost unthinkable, right? Let alone here in Southern California. Okay, KCAL's Suzanne Marquez shows us tonight that dream is becoming a reality thanks to one company that's taking a fresh new look at rush hour.
Any ideas on how you can get to and from work without any sitting in traffic?
Walking.
Yeah, I think they're going to say a fresh new look at rush hour, meaning you work opposite hours.
I know. Okay. I did. I remember a long time ago hearing a story about a company that was learning how to, like, elevate cars. So, mm-hmm. like, it could be on different levels.
Flying cars, Jetson style.
Kind of, except they were, it was like a sticks thing. But anyway, let's see what happens. I feel like it's multi-leveled garage style.
You missed it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Traffic?
From above.
From above.
Tired of the sea of red lights and seemingly endless commutes? Well, now there's a way to skip the congestion and float through rush hour from above.
We're trying to take them off the freeways and get them to fly to work.
Float co-founder and pilot Rob McKinney says the service is designed to give Southern Californians an air shuttle option over and around the country's worst traffic.
So this is it's a small plane company where you can go from any regional airport to any other regional airport for like $30. Now, you still have to arrange transportation to that airport, and maybe you could Uber to Van Nuys and then land in Santa Monica and Uber to work from there. But it would ultimately
seems like a lot of work.
It does, but it would ultimately be, I think, cheaper and faster probably than having to drive. Let's find out some more about it.
Float basically stands for fly over all traffic. And so the idea is to real short haul to get people where they're sitting in traffic 2 to 3 hours a day, put them on a flight that takes 15 to 25 minutes.
The service will operate out of general aviation airports like Van Nuys, Fullerton, and Corona. Our flight was from Brackett Field in Laverne to Santa Monica Airport. Wheels up to touchdown, just over 15 minutes.
I mean, I think about every once in a while we do those super commuter phone calls where mm-hmm. people call in and they tell us, you know, I live in the Valley, but I work in Irvine. Mm-hmm. And you just think, oh my God, what are you doing, you know, with the 2 hours each way? Something like this, don't you think it might be worth it?
I'm just impressed with the flyover all traffic for Float. That was so good.
Yeah, that's it's real good.
That's great real
marketing.
Good.
Yeah.
No interest, it sounds like, from you guys.
I don't think so. It's
not for you.
I'm not a casual flyer.
Mm-mm.
It's like, it doesn't seem like something I'm just like, gotta back up traffic. Okay, going on the plane.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big day for me to get on a plane.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you've got to still go through some level of security. I'm sure it's not as much at a Van Nuys airport, but still, mm-hmm. you still have to plan. It's too much.
And I've seen the movie Alive too many times to think this works out. I'm not my friends.
Little more. Again. It's a 20-minute flight, Jensen. Nobody's eating anybody.
Listen, I don't know. You don't know.
The lost productivity for people just sitting in traffic on a daily basis is just almost incalculable. The time savings and just the stress in your productivity once you get to work is just going to be phenomenal.
McKinney says they also hope to add a boost to smaller, underutilized airports across Southern California. The cost? Not too bad. It's only about $30 each way.
$30 each way! All right.
I don't think you have us. I just think it's too big of a commitment for me to be like playing into work every day.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, for somebody out there, it may be something that'll work for them. And it's expected to be operational in fewer than 6 months. So if you're interested in that, keep your eye on it.
Is the flight from New Orleans available to L.A.?
I think these are much smaller planes and much smaller routes.
Oh, I'm not interested then. Look, I want my B9 around me all the time.
Let's talk about today's All New Kevin Bean Show, shall we?
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
I sure will. Hey, it's an all new Cheers with Beer Mug. Muggs is already looking ahead toward bikini season because mm-hmm. you know how good he looks in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to his favorite bar and talks to people about how they're going to get in shape for summer. Also, get up on this, Jensen. Any hints? What are you going to be getting us up on today?
New rock band for you've heard it once or twice on K-Rock through the great Cat Corbett, but I'm going to try to get you a little more exposure.
Okay.
Fantastic. Brand new internet roundup on the program today. And today is a special edition of the roundup because one of the videos, maybe the best video that we're going to feature this week, we're actually also going to talk to that person mm-hmm. who did the video.
Yes.
And you're going to love it. It's going to be your favorite thing you hear all day. Also on the program today, Dr. Drew, because it's Thursday, we continue to give away not only tickets for the Captain Marvel K-Rock screening on Tuesday, but a super private special event. Captain Marvel rocks at a secret location. Performances by Bush and L7. You get to ask the cast questions. If you've ever wanted to talk to Samuel L. Jackson or Brie Larson or some of the other people in the movie, you'll have a chance to do that. So for Marvel heads, you do not want to miss that. That's coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. Okay. So maybe I don't know as much about Instagram as a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And when Ali was explaining it to me, Dave reminded me that I sounded like Bryant Gumbel on the Today Show in 1994 trying to understand what the internet is.
Yeah,
you guys,
yes.
It's like, you guys remember that famous clip?
Him and Katie Couric, yeah.
Yep.
Back now at 56 Pass, I wasn't prepared to translate that. as I was doing that little tease.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Little mark with the A and then the ring around it.
At.
See, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I'd never heard it.
Around.
I'd never heard it said. I'd always seen around. The mark, but never yeah. heard it said. And then yeah. it sounded stupid when I said it. Violence at NBC.
Yeah, I heard around
big
or about.
Fight in the lunchroom the
See,
week.
There it is. Violence at NBC, GE.com. I mean...
Well, Allison should know. What do you say
internet
about Allison?
Anyway?
What is internet anyway, right?
My favorite part is Allison would know. Let's ask Allison. Yes, we all do know. I love it.
All right. Allie is here with our first look at what's happening on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show. And then when we come back, we will find out that some of us on the show are not smart.
Wow.
Would that's... you say that's a reasonable tease?
I mean, it's not even a tease. It's just a fact.
It's just a fact.
I have a feeling this is about me, but okay.
What's going on, Allie?
A little bit. So we all know that Daniel Craig is returning as 007 in the next James Bond film, Bond 25. But there's a lot of casting decisions still to be made. And new reports indicate that casting is really heating up and the film's villain may have been found. Well, according to sources...
DJ Jazzy Jeff in the Fresh Prince.
No. Oh, he'd be real good, though. It is Rami Malek.
Oh, boy, is he having a moment.
Yeah. He is in final talks to play the villain. Apparently, they've been trying to get him for months. What a great next gig, though. Oh, I'm the villain in a Bond film.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you win an Oscar, you could pretty much pick your next, you know, subject.
Pretty much.
His arch nemesis is a stage.
Or teeth.
Yeah.
A dentist. The release date for Bond 25 was recently pushed back, though. It was supposed to be February 14th of next year, but it is now April 8th of 2020.
Hey, who's the dude, Bean, who you love that's in Crazy Rich Asians? The kid.
Henry Golding?
Yeah, that's my new James Bond.
Yeah. He'd be great.
I said that when that movie came out. I said he'd be perfect for it.
I know.
Allie, I love that you have become our James Bond correspondent.
Thank you
because
so
you are so deeply mm-hmm. entrenched in the series.
I appreciate you noticing.
Now that you've seen two of them.
Yeah. I'll see more. I liked them. They were good. I don't know why
people... That's what we were trying to tell you.
I don't know why people don't see them as much as they should. Yeah. What did I see? I saw Casino Royale.
The Daniel Craig one,
the
right?
The Daniel Craig one. And then I thought, well, I need to go way back, right? I need to watch one of the OGs. So I watched Goldfinger.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
And it was amazing.
Good choice.
And I will say this. People that know me pretty well tell me that my favorite is going to be... is it Roger Moore?
Yeah.
He was a James Bond for like seven movies, yeah.
People think that that is going to be my favorite guy. Hmm. I'm going to be a Roger Moore head.
Like he's
that's
great.
Your taste.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, he's terrific.
Okay.
People love Daniel Craig, man.
Yeah.
People
I do.
Too.
He was great.
He's a top threer.
Yeah.
Roger Moore was given some terrible scripts on some of those movies, you know, when he goes to space and things like that.
I think that's why
weird.
People think I'll like it, because it's kind of the janky, campiest one.
It is
ones,
definitely the janky James Bond.
Yeah. I'm kind of
it. It is the closest to Ed Wood that James Bond ever
yes.
got.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll go back. I'll watch some more for you guys.
Great.
Thank you.
Don't think I won't. And don't think I wasn't super excited to see this news that Ray Liotta is in negotiations to join the cast of The Many Saints of New York. That's the Sopranos prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a right? stretch for Ray Liotta.
Yeah. I mean, sure, Goodfellas. He's pretty much, you look at him and you're like, he has whacked a guy.
Yeah,
for
he doesn't.
Sure.
He doesn't know he's acting.
Oh.
He thinks he's in a doc.
Oh, man.
But at least he's not smoking.
Or like drinking some sort of weird alcohol and telling us to drink it.
Bean loves those commercials,
it's
apparently.
Crazy.
Really?
Yeah, his face looks like a moon. It's like so.
Oh.
I'm not even really making fun of him. I just, that's what it looks like.
That's just bad, like cystic acne scars.
Guys, it looks like he's made of leather.
Oh, I will say this. I went to see a taping of Conan way back in the day, back when he was in New York. Mm-hmm. And I saw it was Ray Liotta and Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I'll never forget how nice Ray Liotta was, like in between the takes, just chit-chatting with everybody. I was like, he kills people and he's still so nice.
It looks like he's seen some ass, you know what I mean?
Oh, he has, for sure. Real. Probably just on the way to the studio.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? You guys, A Star Is Born won't go away.
Yeah!
Starting tomorrow, A Star Is Born will return to theaters for 1 week.
All right.
With 12 minutes of additional footage.
12 minutes? That'll be
12 minutes.
Good 12-minute chunk.
Among the extra scenes is an extended cut of Gaga's a cappella rendition of Shallow, as well as a clip of her and Bradley Cooper penning
Having
the song.
Sex.
Penning the song Clover.
Go on.
What's going on?
naked and having sex. No, that's not in that. We're gonna tackle that coming up too, because she was on Kimmel last night.
Oh, good.
And she talked about
how she got pregnant on stage at the Academy Awards.
How we all did watching it. Jensen's now pregnant. You're mm-hmm. pregnant. Everyone's pregnant that watched that. So yeah. She talked a little bit about that last night. So we'll listen to that coming up in just a bit.
What's going on?
Well, for now, some birthdays. John Turturro, right? How great is he?
He's great.
The Night of.
Night of. Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. Do the Right Thing.
Every Coen Brother movie.
Quiz Show.
Quiz Show. Yeah, I love it. That's tremendous.
Comedian Gilbert Gottfried. God bless him. Oh, he is a riot.
He is quite a character.
Oh. Did you ever see the doc about his life?
No.
It's joyful.
I know he has a kid, right? And he's like a great dad.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think two kids, right?
I don't remember, but his off... stage life is nothing like you would expect.
He's very bland and...
It's adorable.
He's just a very quiet, sweet old man.
Yeah.
He's adorable. And happy birthday to Allie Larder. Varsity Blues, Bridesmaids, Heroes, Final Destination.
All good.
All sorts of stuff.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock Wheels Up 2019. Destination number 7 is Bottle Rock in Napa Valley. 80 bands, including Mumford and Sons, Imagine Dragons, and so much more. Stryker and Klein have your tickets at 5 p.m. this afternoon on K-Rock. All right, you know we're just going to stir up the audience again by bringing in Hot Omar for this segment.
I'm out of my mind.
It's crazy.
Are you as well?
I can sense the drool when you post on Instagram
just
now.
Too much.
We had Omar in to sing some songs yesterday for a contest, and our thirsty men and women listeners got a look at him on Instagram Live, and that's all we've been hearing about is where you've been hiding Omar. You know what this mm-hmm. reminds me of? Remember like about... a year ago when suddenly Steve Carell became hot and people were like, what happened? How is Michael Scott from The Office now a sex symbol?
Yeah, it's the beard. That did it for him. But
same
Omar,
thing with Omar, though.
But Omar, people literally think that we don't bring him anywhere. He's at every event. Yeah, well, how are you not seeing Omar?
We don't keep him in a cage. He's out and about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
It's weird.
Here's from Amanda on Twitter. Damn it, you made me look up DJ Omar Khan's photo and he is indeed hot. Omar, good God.
Wow.
So that's, we basically are going to have to start muting Omar's name or we won't see anything else.
Yeah, the thirst is very real.
All right, so the reason Hot Omar, or Homar as we're now calling him off air, is in studio with us, is we were having a discussion yesterday, and it turns out that many of us on the show, not Allie because she's a sensible, reasonable person, but many of us on the show are fighting technology in some cases or convenience in other cases where we refuse to change our ways. We continue doing things the hard way when there's a much easier way to do it because we just can't stop. And Jensen, I think you may be the king of this. Why don't you walk us through some of the problems that you're having?
We figured out that at banks, I seem to have a lot of issues, which is I have been banking just like everyone else since they're probably like late teens. Mm-hmm. And I won't stop doing the thing I did in the 80s, which is basically walk into the bank and deposit my check. I will not use an ATM to deposit any money. Like
what?
I like putting a check in or even putting cash in. I've never done any of those things.
So you go in and fill out a deposit slip, give it to the lady or the
man.
And wait in line, yeah.
No.
Although most people are smart enough now to not go inside, so the lines are less.
But Jensen, wait, you understand that ATMs are 20th century technology now. Now people just scan the check on their app and deposit it that way. You don't even have to go to the bank at all.
It shows I didn't even think of that when I was explaining what I do. I don't even have the bank app. Like I will always see it as like a brick and mortar. Like I have to go in and talk to the teller and then get the receipt. I will never change. There's no world where I feel comfortable doing it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what do you suppose that's about? Because obviously you're modern in many other ways.
I think that I'm so used to certain things that I can't see any, like, there's such a routine. Like I don't see anything out of it.
So it's not a fear that something will go wrong if you put it into the ATM.
It's possible, but that is not my problem.
Okay.
My problem is that I'm used to going in. It's almost like a clockwork for me.
Do you have a specific teller that you're like, yeah, I got Jenny?
No, but I won't go. Like even if I need to deposit a check late or anything like that, I'll just wait till it opens the next day.
What a nerd.
A
bank nerd.
Yeah. Will you do direct deposit?
I've only done that once.
What I'm saying is your K-Rock paycheck,
is the
do you literally pick up a paper check and take it to the bank?
That is the first time I've direct deposited.
Oh, how do you feel about it?
It's fine. It's fine.
It's not fine. No. You're so tense right now.
It is fine.
He's like, chicken, like, ah, I don't know.
It's that I don't have any idea if I'm getting it.
Right.
Like, I don't get, like, an alert on my phone, or I guess I could probably set up a deposit thing, but, I mean, every once in a while I'll be like, am I working for free?
Because you don't see it, right?
No, I don't see it, so I don't know.
I think direct deposit is pretty well established at this point. I think we know
you're
that
good.
It works.
I have a routine, guys. I don't want to break my routine.
Okay.
All right. How about you, Homer?
Yeah, I have something similar. It has to do with the bank, is that I get paid, one of my tenants pays me via check. And for the DJ business, a lot of times, you know, they'll pay me on via check as well. And I cannot...
Let me just stop you right there and say that I haven't written a check in 10 years. The only people I ever see writing checks are super old people at the grocery store. That's it. No one uses checks.
Yeah, look what happened to Jussie Smollett.
Right? Yeah. That's why you shouldn't write checks, Omar. Yeah. All right, so you get a check.
So I get a check, and I can't bring myself to use the little scan app on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty busy guy, so this would save me a tremendous amount of time just scanning the check, and then it'll show up in my bank account in a couple of days.
Okay.
I have to go to the ATM, no matter what.
So
and
you won't use the app at all.
I won't use it. And I have used it. I used it once.
And it worked.
And it worked, and it was fine, and I hated it.
Okay.
I just felt weird about it and wrong about it. It's like it felt a little I was off like that week.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre. I have to go to the ATM, deposit it in the ATM, and I have no idea why.
He's like the step above me.
I was going to say it's baby steps. Yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
What is your problem with banks, guys? We're not on the verge of the Great Depression here. Banks are safe.
I see it as banking. There's a certain thing I do in banking, and none of these things you're talking about feel like banking to me, so I'm just used to doing this one thing, and that's how I bank.
Okay, I need a ruling from you on this, Allie.
Okay.
You know my love for the post office.
Yeah.
I try to go to the post office a couple times a week. I love the post office. I like the smell of it. Mm-hmm. I like the feel of it. I like what you can do when you get there.
Oh, jeez. God.
What kind of post office are you going, dude?
You don't want to know.
Which is post office business. That's what you know. No, it's not like that at all. Donna makes fun of me all the time because whenever she has a letter to go out or I do, she says, why don't you just put it in the mailbox? Because there's a guy who works for the post office who's coming to our house this afternoon. He can pick that letter up
literally,
and take it to the post office for you.
Literally his job to come to your house and collect that.
Dean, I know we don't need any more similarities between us, but I have never left a letter outside for the post office.
Would never in a million years do it.
I
would
do that every week.
No, I've never
done it. In a million years, I would never do that. And let me take it one step further. She's like, okay, if you won't leave it for the man whose job it is to come and pick up the mail, there's a mailbox 30 seconds from our house. Go to the mailbox and drop it in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it a safety thing in your mailbox? You're afraid someone will take it?
No.
You just love the post office.
I want to eliminate as many steps as possible between my letter leaving my hand and getting to the person that I'm mailing to.
Well, how there's do you not just drive it to the person?
Sometimes it's in another country.
Okay.
But so there's, I'm eliminating two potential downfalls for this letter, because what happens if something goes wrong with Kenneth, my mailman? What happens if he drops it or loses it or something like that? And then what happens if I take it to the mailbox on the corner and it doesn't get picked up, or there's a bomb? You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, poor also, Kenneth. No faith in
him
Kenneth.
Him dropping Kenneth in there was great. Right. What happens if I lose Kenneth?
So at least if I take it to the post office, I know that it is. I've eliminated those early steps for danger, and it's one step closer to being delivered.
You're insane.
Is that also crazy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you working with a bunch of nut jobs, Allie?
Yes!
It's routine. We all like routine. It's a very radio thing.
Now, do you take it to the post office and you deposit it in the little slot in the post office, or do you wait in line and you give it to the clerk there?
No.
Do you give it to that slot?
I feel like it's safe in the post office, so I don't mind dropping it into the slot because that's away from the public. Nobody else can get to that except for the hardworking, God-loving Americans who work for the post office.
Nothing bad has ever happened at a post office.
We're going to do something very exciting, you guys. A little less than 1 hour from right now, we're giving away tickets to something called Captain Marvel Rocks. Mm-hmm. You know about this?
Mm-hmm.
This is a super secret location on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Not only will Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson be there answering your questions, but since the new Captain Marvel movie is set in the 90s, there are going to be performances from the bands Bush and L7. In addition, we'll give you a pair of passes to the Kerouac Advance screening of Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel. on Tuesday night, it doesn't open until Friday.
That's too much.
It's a lot.
You know what?
Cut it in half. Give me one of them.
Yeah, agree.
Here's what we're going to do, because we know how rabid fans of the MCU can be. We're going to be looking for your fan songs about the Marvel Universe. It can be about Captain Marvel herself, or it can be about anyone else that you love and admire in the Marvel Universe. We're going to ask you to sing your way into this very special event. You cannot buy tickets. You can only win them here on the world famous K-Rock. So about an hour from right now, little less, we want your Marvel fan songs here on K-Rock. Hey, Muggsy.
Yo, how's it going?
What's going on with you, my friend?
You know, I'm ready for summer.
I'm glad that you said that, because I feel like you've been working on the show for how long now, Beer Mug?
I've been with Kevin and Bean for a good 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
12 years.
And you guys know, throughout the entire time, I've always been the guy on the show who represents peak physical condition,
yes.
Perfect healthy living,
yeah.
Exceptional body physique.
Right.
That's why you're the guy we always ask to take his shirt off at various events.
Exactly. Not many people know this, but I actually taught Psycho Mike all that he knew when he used to come in here and do the Psycho Body. Exactly.
Okay. He's an excellent student, then. I'll tell you that.
Yes, he is. He's spreading my knowledge perfectly.
Ew.
So now that we are a day away from March, you started thinking about summer bod season.
Yep, and I wanted to go to my fantastic watering hole, which is O'Grady's in Granada Hills, and I wanted to see if the people in there were taking their summer body seriously and what they were going to do to prepare everything, their healthy living, eating, in order to get ready to show off their bods at the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is this week's edition of Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
All right, let's hear what the people had to say.
With spring right around the corner, Alex, tell me how you're going to get ready for... And looking great
Stop right there.
Oh boy.
I'm going to ask you to go back to the beginning of that so we can enjoy it all again. Hey, is beer part of the formula for a great summer bod?
It depends. If it's light beer, I would assume it can be. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure light beer is just like healthy. It's like working out.
Yeah, low carbs, you know.
All right, let's hear that start again, shall we?
With spring right around the corner, Alex, tell me how you're going to get ready for, and looking great Alex, tell me how you're gonna get into your summer body shape.
Oh, my summer barley, my barley. My summer why the f*** do I keep saying summer barley?
I think I'm rubbing off on you, Alex.
Clearly, I'm excited for the summer ales, because that summer barley is delicious.
All right, stop right there.
I don't know how I'm not wearing a hard hat. This is insane.
I do know this. I insist you and Alex do a podcast.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I can't live with only 30 seconds of this. I need 2 hours
at
a time.
That's our generation's Frost Nixon.
That's right.
Wow.
And I just cut out drinking, I guess, till the weekends, you know, when I'm trying to lose weight. You have a very good physique for a softball player.
Hey, thanks. I haven't played softball in 8 years.
I got kicked out of my softball league.
Oh, I almost got kicked out of mine, too. I smoke weed and drink there now. My dad doesn't even get mad anymore. It's his team.
You know, I drink coconut water and tangerines. You drink tangerine? Like, you just straight up... coconut water I drink, but tangerines I peel.
Apples. Sitting here at the bar drinking beer. Yep, that's how we work out. Cause I got high.
I eat kale.
Kale, just kale, that's all you eat?
Just kale.
That gets boring, huh? Monty, it's good to see you again. Oh, this is twice in a row now.
Okay, stop. Have you guys noticed in recent weeks of Cheers with Beer Mug?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say, don't you,
Mike? Honestly, I've been thinking it the whole time as well.
Yeah.
You're drinking a lot more.
I think I am. And I think it's just bringing out all the sorrow in my life. Do you hear my voice?
Well, it's a depressant.
Is this turning into an intervention?
A little bit.
Getting rough.
But I think there is some sunshine at the end of this this rainbow. Where do you put the sunshine? Is it in the tunnel? Where does it go?
He can't even come up with the right metaphor. This is such a BS angle.
No, I'm serious. There is some good news on the horizon because I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but Monty is very much in love with Beer Mug.
I think it's mutual. I think there's a bromance that we have seen just take off, and now they're ready to bone.
I think so. It's blossoming because in every interview, and I haven't heard this one yet, but in every interview, Monty says some variation of, ask me the question you really want to ask.
Oh.
You've heard that before. You've heard that on multiple occasions. And what he's looking for there,
right.
Muggs, and you won't give him, you're giving him these BS questions when he wants you to ask him out like a man. That's what he's waiting for here.
Well, did I not pick up on his foot tapping?
I've got nuts. Did you?
Were you in the bathroom?
Were you in separate stalls?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear Beer Mug and his boyfriend Monty now in Cheers with Beer Mug.
It's good to see you again. This is twice in a row now.
Oh, wow, man. It's great to see you, my man.
I didn't expect to see you twice in a row coming here.
The beer gods. It's the beer gods.
The beer gods drag you here. While I have you here, what are you going to do, Monty, to get your body into the most pristine peak physical summer shape?
I think that a miracle needs to happen.
Oh.
No, literally, a miracle needs to happen because how the hell am I going to let go of my drinking beer, man? I mean, come on, Beer Mug. Oh, dude, come on. Tell me the real question you want to ask me, man.
Yes. That is a real question.
Right. How am I going to do that, man? Break, dance, there's no tomorrow, my friends, because it's one of the best cardiovascular exercises you'll ever get. And cheers, dilly dilly, and everything all together.
Cheers, dilly dilly, and everything all together.
Yeah!
Who knew Monty was a breakdancer?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Unreal.
I love how interested Muggs is in getting Monty's body tight before he goes in for it.
Yeah! Oh.
Great job, Muggs.
Thank you.
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Killers on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Jensen will get us up on something like he does every Thursday just after 7 coming up. And next hour, we're also giving away tickets to the Captain Marvel Rocks. Again, a reminder, we're looking for you to come up with your own fan song, basically, about Marvel movies. We're going to give you some passes to see Captain Marvel ahead of its opening on Friday the 8th. And also, you get to go to a super secret location to see Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, other members of the cast of the movie, live performances from Bush and L7 as well. So start thinking about what you're going to put in your fan song, and we'll ask for that call in about 40 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. We wanted to give you some advance warning. All right, Allie, it is a busy Thursday. What's going on?
Well, we all know that Morrissey is set to release a pretty eclectic new covers album. It's going to be called California Sun, due out on May 24th. We now know the 12 tracks, and we got a little taste of one of the tracks on it. First recorded by Roy Orbison in 1964, it's a song called It's Over.
But oh, what will you do when she says to you there's someone new? We're through.
That's a great choice for Morrissey.
For his voice, absolutely.
I like they that have... one. I also heard he's doing Rump Shaker by Rex and
no,
Effect.
No, that one that didn't. It didn't make.
I don't think that one doesn't fit him as well. But that sounded great.
Yeah, he
I
is.
Mean, they both have that same kind of theatrical style. So yeah. That's an excellent choice.
I agree. Some of the other songs are interesting. He's doing a Bob Dylan song, doing The Fifth Dimension, doing Dionne Warwick, and a tune by Carly Simon. Okay. Very, very interesting choices by Mr. Morrissey. And again, it is called California Sun. It is due out on May 24th. All right, guys.
Our advice with Morrissey is go ahead and stream as much music as you want, but do not be fooled into buying tickets to an upcoming concert.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
And I wouldn't even pre-order that. I'd sit tight until the day it's released. You just never know. So did you hear about Netflix in the UK and their playing of The Notebook?
Yeah, they have. You tell, but I didn't understand it when I read it.
I still don't understand it. So, thank you. So, Netflix UK site accidentally streamed a different cut of the beloved romantic comedy, The Notebook.
Did this come from?
Here's the thing. You know the ending of this film,
yeah,
right?
It's famous.
Ali and Noah die in the same bed holding hands.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Old age. It's a beautiful ending.
Yes.
Well, that's not people. What people in the UK saw. They saw it cut away to a shot of birds flying over a lake. What? No death, no nothing. Just, hey, here's a lake.
So
check
it's
out
a
the birds.
Happily ever after ending?
Essentially, yeah.
And it's like an airplane cut. You know how, like, when you're watching a movie on an airplane, they take out anything that has to do with, like, a plane crash or anything?
Right.
It's like they're hiding something.
It's very strange. But Netflix tweeted an explanation saying, "Things you should know. We did not edit The Notebook. An alternate version exists and was supplied to us. We are getting to the bottom of it ASAP. Apparently, some films have more than one ending."
What is this, Clue?
What? That's what I'm saying. Was Colonel Mustard giving you the tape in the library?
It's so dumb.
It doesn't make any sense to me as to why they got that ending.
It feels like there were notes back in the day, like, we can't see that sad of an ending. We have to be able to make it seem, you know, and so this is a version they tested?
They had to. Like, Pretty in Pink, they have a version where she winds up with Ducky instead of Blaine.
Yeah. Little Shop of Horrors, the movie also. Little Shop of Horrors has one where the plants take over all of New York City.
Which is interesting because my dentist is a plant.
That seems odd.
Yeah. All right. But isn't that so bizarre?
That is weird. And it must have been very disappointing for people who love that movie and were just excited about seeing it again to be like, hey, wait a minute.
What's with these birds in the lake? This is ridiculous.
Although they were probably happier.
No. See, I think it's such a beautiful ending that two that have been together forever... He crawled into bed with her, and they woke up. They didn't wake up. The nurse comes in, and they're both dead.
Birds. I'd like to see birds.
They're both dead
right
there.
Show me birds.
I just thought it was a beautiful ending. If you could die with your loved one, that's beautiful.
Birds.
Who's with me?
Cut to birds.
All right.
And that's why you always wanted to be smothered by a bear, because you're dying with your loved one that
Thank
way.
Thank you, Bean. Finally, someone gets it. And by smothered, I just want to hug a bear. You're saying smothered, but
saying
that's
the bear hugs back. Yeah, the bear hugs back. And
guts.
Bear plus Allie equals bear is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I'm a good hugger. Bear might be like, I'm digging this. I'm totally into it. And then I like move into a little house in the woods, and then I bake cookies, and he comes by the window. Like, hey, did you bake cookies? And I'm like, yeah, Mr. Bear. And
I just hand him people tune out.
Okay, got it. Hey, did you guys hear by chance about this Mattel announcement about another live action movie based on one of their toys? This one makes no sense. So when we heard about
I'm going to reserve judgment because I mocked the Lego movie idea. When the Lego movie was announced, I said, this is it. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and it's become a beloved billion-dollar franchise.
But that's because of the right hands it was in. But let's see this.
So first of all, this marks the third recent collaboration between Mattel and MGM. They've got a film based on Hot Wheels coming out.
Sure.
And the film based on Barbie. I will tell you this right now. Those two seem genius.
Please be the eight ball. Is it the eight ball?
Worse.
Oh, no.
Mattel Films and MGM are teaming up for a live-action film based on the vintage toy, the Viewmaster.
That's a terrible idea.
Nope.
Nope.
That's the toy. Nope. In case people don't know, you put it up to your eye and then you just click through like different scenes.
That idea is terrible.
It's awful.
What is happening?
How
guys?
Would you even, Jensen? You're a creative guy who produces a bunch of media.
Yeah.
How would you even make a movie about a ViewMaster?
Here's my pitch, and I don't even know if I have one, but this is all that came up to mind. Something about you put it up to your eyes, and you somehow end up in the scenes. It's kind of Jumanji-esque.
That's what I was thinking. Or you put it up to your eyes, and you create what you want to with the next scene.
No!
And then when it isn't that next scene.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's all bad.
When it isn't that next scene, then you die instantly.
Oh, it's a horror movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to go probably a little more kids.
But then you click to the next scene.
I just can't.
And there's a guy behind you with a knife in the scene. And you're like, well, that's weird. And then you're like, what?
Yeah, I'd rather die.
But it ends with a shot of some birds, right?
Yeah.
And a lake, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What is happening, you guys?
ViewMaster the movie, guys.
Yep.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. It's going to be they're stuck in this. Or you put it up and then you drop it and you're in the thing that was in the view.
It's got to be,
yeah,
right?
It's got to be it.
Being you now, huh?
Still hate it.
Sounds great.
Look, I am not qualified to mock anymore after what I said about the Lego franchise. I really am not.
Yeah.
Is there anyone attached or anything? Does it say?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Bean, just do it. Some birthdays for you: Allie Larder, Gilbert Gottfried, and John Turturro.
There are lots of ways to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. You can always call the Afro Line, which we don't probably mention often enough. Anytime, 24 hours a day, it's our voicemail message machine here at KROQ, 323-520-AFRO. Allie, I checked that before I said it on the air.
It's good.
Just to make sure I got it right this time.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing it?
The Afro Line?
Yeah.
Probably about, it goes back to the Kimmel days, maybe 20 years or so.
So understandable how he forgets that number.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number right. we always mock how we were the last radio station of any size to get the internet, to get a website going. And that's true. We were also the last radio station, I think, in America to get an 800 number.
Oh, cool.
So back in the 90s, when Kevin and I used to do this show, RIP Kevin, we used to have to give all the different area codes. Mm-hmm. So it was a number for 714, a number for 818, a number for 310. If there was even a 310 back then, and number for all the different area codes. So we've come a long way is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And now we actually have voicemail. So
and then you guys
really
used to have to do carrier pigeons. Yeah. And all sorts of things. How long you guys been on air?
It was a lot, you guys. All right. Dr. Drew on the program later on today because it's Thursday. The other staple of a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show is this one. Time for Get Up On This. Hit it, Steve.
Get up. Get on up.
On this.
Get up.
Everybody, I'm very excited this week because we are always at a loss for new rock music. Mm-hmm. It is not necessarily the thing that's front and center right now. We saw at the Grammys that hip hop and pop are sort of have taken the spotlight.
For sure.
And there's a few people that are holding the torch, but I think with this one, we have a real up and comer. And if you might know them, if you've heard Kat Carson's Locals Only, she's played them a couple times.
Who?
Did I say Kat Carson?
Yep.
Kat Corbett. Kat Carson. Shout out to my agent at CAA, Kat Carson. guys, get up on Wallows. W-A-L-L-O-W.
Oh, I love this song.
I love Wallows.
They are the best. It is a Los Angeles-based band made up of three young members, Braden LeMasters, Cole Preston, and Dylan Minette. Now, you might know Dylan because he is the star of Netflix show 13 Reasons Why, which means if you go to his concerts, there will be a lot of teens there, so maybe avoid them. But still go to the show. They started together in high school but started releasing music as Wallows back in 2017. And as I said, they've been featured here on K-Rock before, but now they have a brand new album coming out March 22nd, and it's time to get better acquainted with them. They are signed to Atlantic Records, but put out their EP. It was a debut in 2018, and now the full-length album is called Nothing Happens. It's right around the corner. I'm very excited. Now, they have a bit of an LA sound to them, right? But at the same time, they sort of sound like a Beach Boys version of the Strokes.
Oh, for sure.
Is that a good way to put
it?
Okay. They also seem to float their influences evenly between sort of an 80s new wave and a 90s grunge. And I think Kevin and Bean listeners will very much dig them. They'll be featured both weekends of Coachella this year as well. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And they're about to be taking a headlining tour that stops here in LA on May 24th at the Fonda. The first single from the new album is out now. It's called Are You Bored Yet? It features the singer Claro. It's produced by Grammy winner John Congleton, who's best known for his music with St. Vincent, My Favorite's Future Islands, and The Walkman. It's great. Listen, this is the song, Are You Bored Yet?
What's wrong? You
been asking, but I don't have an answer. How come I'm still thinking? Let's pretend to fall asleep now. When we get old, will we regret this? Too young to think about all that shit. And stalling only goes so far when you've got a head start. We can stay at home and watch the sunset, but I get up from asking, are you bored yet? And if you're feeling lonely, you should tell me before this ends up as another memory.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah.
It's great.
I like them
great
a lot. Song.
They played on Jimmy Fallon a few weeks ago. You could see them live, which is good because a lot of these bands that depend a lot on sort of the lo-fi studio sound can't perform live.
Right.
So it's sort of hidden, Postal Service. But these guys are really good live. This is a great band to see. The also very cool part about them is everything sounds so varied. It's very hard to pin down a signature sound for them, which you can hear here in this song, Pictures of Girls, which was from their last EP. And if you're a podcast listener, you can go to their social media now on site and see, because they're playing everywhere from Philadelphia to Austin, Texas, to Germany and the UK. The album comes out March 22nd. It is very good. Get up on that. And once again, shouts out to my agent, Kat Carson, CAA.
Get up, get on up, on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up.
If Michael Jackson ultimately gets canceled, gets the R. Kelly treatment, and all of his songs are pulled off the radio, does that mean we can't play Smooth Criminal by Alien Ant Farm 2?
Hope so. What?
Please. I mean, do they lose out because they covered a Michael Jackson song, or is it only songs that are performed by Michael Jackson that we wouldn't be playing?
And then I'd have an issue with SWV, Human Nature. I mean, we really, this will never end.
It's very complicated. Somebody needs to make a ruling, because I don't know what's okay anymore. Hey, David King of Mexico.
Good morning.
Before we get to the Internet Roundup, we want to open up the phones right now to you at 1-800-520-1067. We tried to give you a heads up throughout the morning that we were going to be doing this because we have an amazing prize. Not only do you get to come to the K-Rock Advance screening of Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel at the AMC Burbank on Tuesday, but you also get to go to a super secret event on Monday morning where Brie Larson is going to be there. Samuel L. Jackson is going to be there. The bands Bush and L7 are going to be performing because this is the first Marvel Universe movie that is set in the 1990s. So it all ties in. And you can be there and you can help interview the cast. This is an amazing opportunity for a Marvel superhead.
Yeah.
So we're looking. Is that appropriate use of superhead?
I'd rather go
super Marvel head.
Okay, Super Marvel head.
Yeah.
So we're looking for your fan songs right now. Anything MCU related. It can be about Captain Marvel herself, or it can be about any of the other movies.
It could be about Howard the Duck.
Technically, yeah.
Didn't Huey Lewis do a Howard the Duck song?
I think so.
You could do your own flip on it.
Your enthusiasm for the MCU is what we're looking for right now. We're looking for Marvel fan songs. Call right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you could win tickets to both events from the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. All right, roundup time. Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Allie told you about it yesterday and what's happening, but one reason to go to the Internet Roundup alone is to see Topher Grace's edit of all 10 Star Wars movies in 1 5-minute clip.
Unreal.
It's really pretty astonishing.
It's like a trailer for the whole thing.
You definitely have to check that out. Speaking of movies, Dave.
Yo.
You're not playing Pokemon Go anymore, right?
I am not, but okay. I think Mark Hoppus is the only one playing still, and I live through him with Pokemon Go. Mm.
But you still have unlimited enthusiasm for the Pikachu movie.
Oh, guys, I am more excited about Pikachu, Detective Pikachu, than maybe Avengers Endgame.
What are you doing?
It's just because the trailers are so good. And we got freaking Deadpool as
Pikachu. Well, we do. The movie is called Becoming Pikachu, by the way. Ryan Reynolds, who is hilarious in everything
the
he does.
The video is called Becoming Pikachu. The movie's okay, Detective Pikachu.
Yeah. Oh, too much info for you to know already.
Ryan Reynolds, as you know, is hilarious. And here he gives a behind-the-scenes look. And you'll hear a cameo from his wife, Blake Lively, as well. But he gives a behind-the-scenes look on how invested he has gotten into this character.
You know, I lived it. I breathed it. I became the character. I spent the entire year as Detective Pikachu. Now, as many of you know, I vanish into my roles. You know, this is a funny anecdote. I was on my way to pick up my daughters from school when I heard that I got the role. Well, I didn't show up at school because Detective Pikachu, he doesn't know who those two little girls are. Who are they?
They're our daughters. He just left them.
He doesn't have a wife. No. He's a little yellow guy. Lives in Rhyme City in a briar patch or something. You know, I immerse myself completely within the world of Pokemon. I read about him. I live at his height. I tried to lose 182 pounds to match his weight until doctors intervened. And the point is, my daughters, they may never see their dad again. But you can be damn sure that they're looking up at that big screen this summer and they're going to see Detective Pikachu.
We're not going.
Pika Pika. That's just me.
If the movie is anywhere near as funny as that, I might actually go. That's
I don't think.
Awesome.
Is it a comedy?
It kind of is because, I mean, one, you got Ryan Reynolds, but then Pikachu is just the most lovable creature in the Pokemon universe.
I feel like we're being swerved with the marketing. I think
so
it's a
weird
kid's movie, and we'll
so
all show
weird
up waiting for the comedy.
Oh. I don't know about you guys, but I love it when they mic up players or coaches or officials or anybody at a sporting event. I think it's fascinating to hear what's being said on the field or on the ice or whatever, and that's what happens in this video. This guy mic'd up his four-year-old at a hockey game, and he had a lot of thoughts while he was out there on the ice.
Is there money coming on?
Yeah,
is
everyone working on?
Why? Am I a good scorer? Oh, yeah, I am. What are you, garbage? A flop short. I'm doing it! Let me go, you old fat can. Ow! My legs are hanging out. I want to go to McDonald's. Let's nap. My legs are tired. I need to pee. Yay, I scored, Daddy! My legs are tired.
Your legs are tired? Mm-hmm. We have 1 minute left.
Maybe after hockey, I'm going to go to McDonald's after.
My kind of kid, man. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Oh, one of my favorite parts was he was trying to skate with this group, and he just goes, I'm not in this group. I love him so much.
I'm ready to have a kid. I'm ready, man.
Jensen, I want you to set up this one. This is a very funny Green Book video.
This is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Demi Ajayi, who is a genius. And
it's unreal what he does.
He is awesome. And I think we're talking to him later about it.
Oh, nice.
But basically, he takes movies that should never have theme songs. Like, remember how like Will Smith did Wild Wild West?
Wild Wild West.
And remember how like...
Wait, was that Kool Moe Dee?
Well, originally.
Yeah.
Then it was covered and put a Stevie Wonder sample and it was made for the... But the point is, Fresh Prince made a lot of theme songs. Men in Black, even his own TV show.
Sure.
And he likes figuring out movies that should never have songs, but yet the movie's referenced in the song.
Right.
So he hates Green Book.
Okay.
When he has a video live that someone took of him when it won Best Picture and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. This is a song he created and pretended is at the end of the Green Book credits. And it's in the tune of Morrissey. That's all you need to know.
I've lived a normal life for 30-something years and hated on the blacks until today. I saw two black construction workers drink from water glasses, so I threw the glasses both away. But then a Negro man paid me for a job to drive him through the South and to protect him. And that's how all my prejudices changed. Thanks to the Green Book, oh, perspective was the key. I simply had to meet some people more racist than me. With the Green Book, oh, the Green Book led the way.
So good.
It's literally what the whole movie is about.
It's what he does.
For a second, when I saw this video, I thought, that's really the end credits? Yeah.
I mean, he fools people. He also creates a video to go along with it where it looks like it's perfect. It looks exactly like it's in the movie. Yeah. So he has fooled numerous people with these things.
I will never forget the first thing I ever saw by him was him doing a rap as Lando Calrissian, as Childish Gambino.
Oh, yeah.
And we all thought it was like the most banging Childish Gambino new song. No, it was him.
Right. He's a writer on Corden and a genius. Amazing. And we're talking to him later.
Excellent.
Very exciting. Next hour we'll have him on. One more. We played this very early in the morning one day, a few days ago, and I wanted to give the later audience an opportunity to hear it because this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, perhaps. There's an eagle and an osprey who are engaged in a battle in the air above a college softball game. If I remember correctly, it was Jacksonville University versus Jacksonville State. And the game has to stop because this fish falls onto the field. And I got to give it up for this play-by-play guy, man. He did not let him stop. It didn't stop him at all. He just he provided all the commentary we needed.
It's an osprey out there that just dropped a fish out in shallow right field. And now a bald eagle has entered the scene and everything has come to a halt. The eagle comes in, chases the osprey away, makes him drop the fish, and now the eagle is Connor Stevens is going out into shallow right. Is he going to go try and get the fish before the eagle gets it? The eagle circling overhead. Stevens has the fish wrapped up in a towel, and he makes his way back over to the home dugout.
That's great reporting right there, by the way.
I mean, that's the new Vince Scully to me.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
What was going on in the game, though?
Who cares?
The game was halted. It had to be.
It's an animal fight.
We got a couple of lines open if you want to get in. We're looking for your songs, your fan songs about the Marvel Universe. Whatever you love about it, if you want to win this double prize, the Captain Marvel Rocks event that we told you about and tickets to the K-Rock Advanced Screening, you call us right now. Just sing your way in at 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that next. This has been a Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
All right, you guys ready?
Yes.
No. No.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
I'm not. It has to be
not
all
yet?
Of us.
Okay.
As you saw in my contract, we all have to be ready.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, now you are.
Yeah.
Does this get your blood flowing when you start to hear battle rapping going on with people calling in a competition like this on the phones to win a prize?
No, not in this case. I feel like we have rooted in the past for the worst because it's so good bad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping for good this time.
Hoping
just straight good.
We're looking for your Marvel fan songs right now. We've been telling you about the event all day long. Now's the payoff. Now we give you a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel to the AMC Burbank on March 5th. It opens everywhere on March 8th. And don't tell me you won't see it because it looks awesome. Plus a pair of tickets to a super secret Captain Marvel Rocks event at a secret location Monday morning. Brie Larson will be there. Samuel L. Jackson will be there. Performances by Bush and L7. Why? Because the movie is the first in the Marvel Universe set in the 90s.
Yeah, specifically 1995.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good year for Bush and for L7.
Yep.
Let's do some Marvel fan songs. Hit it, Steve.
Marvel fan songs. Marvel fan songs. Marvel fan songs is on the MCU. Marvel fan songs. Marvel fan songs. Marvel fan songs is on superheroes. Marvel fan songs. Marvel fan songs. Marvel fan songs is on Captain Marvel rocks.
Thank you, Hot Omar.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just sweeten the pot a little bit here. Our friend Clark Gregg just tweeted at us. Hey, guess who else is going to be there?
Clark Gregg will
be part of the Marvel Captain Marvel Rocks event.
I love it.
All right, Marvel fan songs. Why don't we start with line one? This is going to be Art in Ontario. Art, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Oh, hello.
He's it.
You already get points for that. What are you going to be performing for us here?
I will be singing a parody from the 1990 song from Depeche Mode, Enjoy the Silence.
Oh, I love the layers of this. He's doing a 90s song even.
Yeah.
All right. The mic's all yours.
All right. Won't you pick me to see the movie Marvel Studios, Captain Marvel? I've been waiting and debating if I call in, will I ever win? To see Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson on the big screen. Words are very necessary to convince Kevin and Bean.
All right, you can stop right there, Art. I think we are unanimous, and you are very welcome at that event.
I loved it.
Congratulations. Thanks. That was fantastic. That's how it's done, you guys.
Yeah, well done, Art. Done.
All right, let's try Chris Anaheim up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, no pressure, but Art was about as close to perfect as one could get in a competition like this.
I'll try to take him down. My song's about Thanos, and I'm going to do it to the tune of In the End by Linkin Park, which I think was a 90s song.
That sounds fantastic. Looking forward to hearing it. Go ahead.
All right. Thanos is a big purple guy. It doesn't even matter how hard you try to keep all the stones away from this guy. He will take them from you and dust your friends. He has a big wrinkly chin. Try to touch his gauntlet and he'll put your face in. He was also a Goonie, so don't mess with him. The Avengers tried and half of them died and got beat down. In the end, half of them are particle matter.
Chris, outstanding work, my friend. Have fun Monday morning. Have fun Tuesday night. You are in.
This is too good. This is normally not what we get. So
you said you were hoping for good ones. You got good ones. All right. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Alan, line three, San Bernardino. Ooh, I don't know how I feel about the 909. I will give it a try. Alan, you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to be doing a Captain Marvel theme song in the vein of a 90s cartoon theme.
That sounds intriguing. All right, let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, she's a superhuman aircraft pilot who suffers from amnesia with the help of Nick Fury. She's out to save the mother effing world. Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel! Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I say yes. I say wave thumbs up.
I also will.
Wave thumbs up. I love you people.
Really good.
All right, Devorah, she's our first lady battle rapper. She's in Whittier. She's on line four. We're playing for two events now. You get to see the movie on Tuesday night ahead of an opening on Friday, and you get to come to the super secret event Monday morning with the cast. Devorah, what are you going to be doing for us?
I'm going to do TikTok, You Don't Stop, I'm Going to Sex You Up to Marvel Comics.
All right. Wow, a little bit of a curveball, but we're excited to hear it. Good luck.
TikTok, You Don't Stop. Ooh, soar is very hot, and I want to sex him up. But if I think about it, Captain America's really cute. Ooh.
Okay, Iron Man. Hold on, Devorah. Hold on.
This is just a thirsty, horny song.
I feel there's a tiny letdown in enthusiasm and quality from the previous callers. Am I reading this incorrectly?
I'm not involved. I'm not in. I'm out.
Allie, what do you think?
I don't think there was enough MCU. Although, let's be honest, Captain Marvel is hot, and I think all of us would sex him up.
Well, let's put Devorah on hold because we don't know what is ahead of us, and we want to get five winners all together. So sure. Devorah is definitely still in the running. Let's try Matt. He's in Simi Valley. He's up next, line five. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
MCU fan song. What do you have for us?
So I've got the Spider-Man theme for his current state before he lands the movie.
Okay.
Sounds great.
All right. Spider dust, spider dust. Tony Stark has lost his trust. Can he swing from a web? Probably not, because he is dead. Come on, it's the spider dust.
It's great. Do you want to sex anyone up, though? That was great.
You had me at spider dust, my friend.
Move
Thank
on.
You, Matt.
I
All right, you are moving
so
on.
Good.
That was awesome. All right, let's try Kyle Sandemus. This is our fifth and final pair of tickets. Let's see if it's going to be Kyle or we're going to go back to Devorah and give her the tickets. Kyle, it's yours to lose.
Hey, everybody.
What do you got for us?
It's like a Morrissey song.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
She's Captain Marvel. She is more powerful than you. She's Captain Marvel. She's got a buddy named Mar-Vell. Yes, that's his real name. They are the Kree. They fight the Skrulls, just like in Green Book.
Congratulations, Devorah.
I think it goes to Devorah.
All right, Devorah, you're going along with Art and Chris and Alan and Matt. Have a great time. Captain Marvel rocks. Super secret event Monday morning, and you get to see the movie on Tuesday night. It opens everywhere on Friday.
This
has been Marvel Fan Songs.
Marvel Fan Songs. Marvel Fan Songs. Marvel Fan Songs is on.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I love seasonal items. Same. I love it when Starbucks does their, what's their deal that they do at Christmas time? You know when they come out with that? That's special.
What is it?
Coffee, the blended, the thing. Pumpkin spice. Hey. Yes, I love the pumpkin spice.
That was A Moment with Bean.
So good.
Look, we've all been there, right?
Oh, it's become it's great how quick it's become second nature for me to not say a word.
It was so hard for me for about a year and a half because I want to help you. I don't want you to struggle. And
you're a nice
Kevin
person.
Would get so mad.
Nah, not for me.
I like it.
You enjoy it.
Easy for Jensen.
Very easy.
Go ahead. If somebody's drowning, Jensen, go ahead and throw him a life raft. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to pee on him.
All right. It is time for another look at what's happening here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show. Allie, that's you.
You have this breaking news that I'm seeing? It's very sad.
No.
Luke Perry had a stroke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. After all this 90210 news this week, too. Yeah.
Wow,
TMZ's reporting Luke Perry suffers massive stroke. Currently hospitalized.
That
he's Archie's
not good.
Dad on Riverdale, too.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
That's a real shame. I'm sorry to hear that.
Me, too.
Well, way to take all the fun out of Allie's segment.
Yeah, I was going to tell you how cool Disney villains are. About to take the spotlight. It's pretty cool, though. The company just announced a series based on the Book of Enchantment book series, which centers around iconic Disney villains like the Beast and Ursula, the witch from Snow White. The new show is set to debut on the company's streaming service, Disney Plus, after it launches later this year. And of course, they're going to have, you know, the Marvel shows on there, multiple live-action Star Wars scripted series, High Fidelity. They're going to have a High School Musical spinoff. I remember when I said, there's no way I'm getting, like, extra streaming services. And then I found out about Disney Plus, and I was like, except Disney Plus.
And I'm on that for CBS, too, because of Twilight Zone.
The All Access.
I know.
Happening. We keep saying,
it's insane.
I already get Netflix. I already get Hulu. I'm not going to get something else. And then you realize you have to.
Yeah.
And we're ending up paying more than we used to pay for cable or satellite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's how they do it. They F you at the drive-thru.
That's what I always
heard. You good.
Mm-hmm. Is that an adventures and babysitting quote that I just did?
Yep.
It's real concerning, you guys. Real concerning. Hey, not sure if you saw the post from Dan Reynolds, the lead singer of course, one of the most iconic bands of our time here, Imagine Dragons.
I love Dan a lot.
We all love Dan. And I don't know if you remember being a couple weenie roasts ago where they were performing, and he got really emotional on stage talking about social media and bullying and how it's just gotten so out of control. And he got choked up, and it was this moment watching him when I was like, do people now see, like, how it affects people? He's a rock star on a stage with so many hits, and he still gets upset by stuff like that. Well, yesterday he posted, not about people on social media, not about strangers, but about his own colleagues, people in his own line of work, other bands that have been saying stuff about his band. And it's a very long post, so I'll just tell you a little bit about it. He said, for a decade now, I've dealt with critics and other bands saying extremely harsh things about my band. Not what I would call fair criticism, which I always try my best to receive and learn from, but actual clickbait horse S. Words filled with vile and hate, meaning to feed humanity's need to laugh at each other's imperfections and fails. And he said he stood silent for a lot of years. It's added to the depression that he's dealt with since he was a kid. And he said it's not the feelings that he's taking in. It's other people. He said, how could it possibly make a kid feel not cool listening to Imagine Dragons? He just hates the thought of some kid getting, like, bullied for liking his band. He then goes on into another page of the feed, and he said, "I've gotten over the fact that guys in other bands, the 1975, Foster the People, Smashing Pumpkins, Slipknot, etc., feel a need to talk badly about my band for whatever reason. I don't feel anger towards them, actually, just more of a sadness that this industry embraces, even celebrates this mentality. I wish it felt like a place where artists stood by each other and supported one another, regardless of our different tastes and voices."
He's not wrong. And how happy is Nickelback right now?
Yeah.
That they're not the punching bag of the moment.
Well, pass that blame.
And that was Slipknot's whole point, that Imagine Dragons has taken off, you know, any heat on Nickelback, and they've become the punching bag, essentially.
I mean, I have mixed feelings about this. First of all, I feel terrible for Dan, because I genuinely think he is a really, really nice guy. And really is just out there trying to make art and entertain people. He absolutely does not deserve this.
Right.
And the reason I say I have mixed feelings about it is because I feel like I am certainly guilty of crapping on bands that I think are terrible. And that's probably not a cool thing to do. I think the attitude, maybe, if the takeaway, if I'm understanding the takeaway, is it's okay for you to like something and somebody else to like something else? There's no real need to denigrate it, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, as someone who finds it funny when someone has a creative take on making fun of something, or myself, if someone makes fun of me and it's actually creative and good, I'll go, you deserve that. But if it's just people being terrible, it's just being terrible. I think there's a large difference in that. And I think...
And I hate the suggestion that is in the words that he wrote, that there are kids who are Imagine Dragon fans who are being made fun of because they like that band.
That's
crappy.
And you know, it's one thing to say you don't like a band. It's another thing in interviews to talk smack about a band.
Yeah.
Like Foster the People. Why? What are you doing?
It is. Yeah. I mean, you're saying like they're going out of their way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be in a band. It's hard to write music. It's hard to perform. It's hard to create. And maybe another artist should have some sympathy for that.
And you never punch up like that when you're maybe these other bands. Like, what? It just makes you look so petty because Imagine Dragons is selling out all over the place.
Yeah.
They've got hit after
than
hit
any of the
after
people
hit.
You mean like the Warriors don't make fun of like the Phoenix Suns?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If I knew what that was in regards to, I would totally agree. Are the Suns bad?
They're bad.
What about Barkley? Isn't he good, though?
It's been about 15 years
Has
since
it?
He's played.
Okay, yeah. Sure. I'll look into that. Yeah. It's such a bummer, though, that it would happen to one of the just kindest, nicest guys whose whole thing is to make people feel included and inclusive, for him to be the one speaking out about this. It's just a bummer.
Trolls will be trolls, baby.
I agree.
That is true.
Awful humans.
And I know this isn't the point, but there's definitely one of the bands that I mentioned that shouldn't be talking about anyone. You know what I'm saying?
Is this you throwing shade at another band?
That's what I'm doing. I said, I know this isn't the point and it's the wrong thing to do, but come on! All right, guys. You want to talk about some birthdays?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Allie Larder, Gilbert Gottfried, John Turturro.
Ordinarily, I would not recommend Stryker and Klein in the afternoons here at K-Rock, but this week, I gotta say, making an exception, 5 p.m. What?
We won't promote them, but... Listen to KNX when there's
breaking news.
Yeah, that's what we learned yesterday. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Stryker and Klein are hooking you up with K-Rock. Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 7 is Bottle Rock in Napa Valley. Speaking of Imagine Dragons, they are one of 80 bands that's going to be playing over that 3-night festival. It's going to be fantastic, and it's Memorial Day weekend. 4-night hotel stay and round trip airfare. Details at krock.com, and another chance to win. But 5 o'clock with Stryker and Klein today. I knew I recognized Demi's name here. Mm-hmm.
Demi Adjuibe.
Right. My apologies. I wish I did better with that. He was a get up on this guest a while back, right, Jensen?
He was. We had him in for his podcast, Punch Up the Jam, where he takes songs that he thinks need a little bit of a change, even though no one's asking for those changes other than him and his co-host, Meow. But they basically make these songs better in their eyes. Like, for example, Little Drummer Boy for the Christmas song. They realize there's really no drumming in it, so they've put a 2-minute drum solo in the middle.
That's what he needed. Yeah.
Things like that. But he's so funny. He's one of the internet's most creative minds. And he's,
well, we were talking about the Lando rap earlier, which was just amazing.
Yeah. Do you guys remember when he was on and he started talking and you could just see it cross my face, and all of a sudden I jumped up. I'm like, you're one of the Gilmore Guys.
Yes, he used to have a podcast called Gilmore Guys.
And where they went through every single episode of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, and they ended up selling out like a 1,500-seater.
Because it was an amazing podcast.
That's great. But now he's in the news.
I think Allie's in love,
I love him so much.
That's right. He's back in the viral news, and we're going to talk to him about why.
All right, let's bring him up. Demi, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. It was so great just listening to you guys listing my credits, being like, oh, thank you.
He's now a writer on the James Corden Show as well.
Nice.
Wow, fun. All right.
But what we're talking about is something he just does on his own.
Yes, we this week's KevinBean Internet Roundup, we featured your Green Book video. And for folks who haven't had a chance to go to KRock.com yet and see it, explain your history with Green Book, because you had strong feelings about this movie well before it won the Oscar for Best Picture.
I did. I'm not a huge fan of the film. I think that it's just like, I don't know, it feels like every few years there's a movie where it's just kind of like the theme is, oh man, it's crazy how, you know, racism's bad, but all we need to do is just have people talk about it and it's fixed. And it was just like it feels like a Lifetime movie, and then it doesn't really tackle the subject in a heavy way, but everyone seems to love it. And it's just like pretty boilerplate, and people are just falling over themselves to be like, it's a pretty nice film, but it doesn't really do anything. And I just felt like, when it got nominated for all these Oscars, I was like, why? It's not anything special. I don't really like this movie. It feels like the messages in it are just like very, like they don't delve into anything very deeply. Yeah. And then when it did get nominated, I was like,
And we've Sorry? Seen it before. Yeah, and we've seen this plot many times before. And I think what was frustrating for a lot of us on Sunday night was there were some real breakthrough movies that were different from anything we'd seen before, like Black Panther, like Roma, that seemed like would have been far more deserving than Green Book.
Absolutely. I was excited for Roma to win, and then I was genuinely shocked when it went to Green Book. I just kind of like, yeah.
What did you do about it?
I wrote a song in the style of Morrissey, pretending that there was a credit song for Green Book that Morrissey performed. It was just me, like, sort of joking about what the plot was and saying that he was pretending to be like, oh, I'm no longer racist, everything's fixed, we cured racism, I'm Morrissey. And, yeah.
All right, we are going to play as much as we have time for here of Debbie's song. So in the style of Morrissey, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Green Book, this is what the movie's about, and I think it'll kind of amplify what Debbie's complaints are about the plot of the film. Check it out.
I've lived a normal life for 30-something years and hated on the blacks until today. I saw two black construction workers drink from water glasses, so I threw the glasses both away. But then a Negro man paid me for a job to drive him through the South and to protect him. And that's how all my prejudices changed, thanks to the Green Book. Oh, perspective was the key. I simply had to meet some people more racist than me with the Green Book. Oh, the Green Book led the way. There's nothing wrong with being proud of who you are. For me, that's born and bred Italiano. Mamma mia, pizza pie. But don't forget that other people have their values too. Like, did you know that blacks can play piano?
Oh.
The Green Book's a collection of the places to avoid if you are black and you are traveling in the South. But if you were to ask me, I would stand and proudly say, the real Green Book's the racism we cured along the way. God bless the Green Book. Racism's easy to defeat. Just drive a black across the South and force him to eat KFC. The Green Book. You can be sure that in the end, my tolerance spread to all my family and my friends. Somehow the Green Book. I'm now a better man. I used to hate the blacks, but now consider me a fan. Thanks to the Green Book. Oh, the Green Book. We can be friends. I'm no longer racist. We can be friends. I'm no longer racist. So now we are friends. I stopped being racist, and now the black man is my friend.
Problem solved, ladies and gentlemen. Right there.
We did it.
So you put this up, and of course your videos have gone viral before, you're used to it, but this one just took off like crazy. Did you get a lot of comments on your YouTube page?
Yeah, there were a lot of people who were just kind of like, wait, is this really part of the movie? And I wanted to be like, oh no, of course it's not. But I think the fact that some people thought it might be was a little disconcerting as to how the movie kind of dealt with that. And everything I said in the song was exactly what happened in the movie. So I was like,
I don't blame you, but yeah.
And I love how you shot it where it's like you're watching the DVD or you're watching a screener of it, and it's the actual movie. And it just gets to the part where the song would come in, and it looked real.
I mean,
that's my favorite thing about doing these.
It's more ridiculous that there was actually a KFC scene in Green Book than anything that happened in film last year. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Debbie. I'm so glad you came on to talk about it. We just wanted to kind of applaud you publicly and make sure people don't miss this video, because it really is one of the funniest things on the internet right now. So thanks for your time, sir.
Well, thank you.
You can follow Demi on Twitter, by the way, at ElectroLemon. And the website, you want to attempt that, Jensen?
The website, demi@jawibe.be. Is that something we send people to, Demi?
Sure. It's just my name, but with the B-E at the end.
Oh, boy.
Is the dot B. Yeah.
Here we go. D-E-M-I. I'll try it. DemiAdeJuyig.be.
What? Now that we've solved racism, let's solve your last name, Demi, shall we?
Let's
tell you about our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. First of all, not 100% sure he's really a doctor.
He definitely is a real doctor.
He pretends great, though. We have a topic that we're going to be discussing with him coming up just after 9 that I would say affects probably half of our listeners. This is going to be one you definitely are not going to want to miss. I know I have questions for him. So Dr. Drew, his weekly Thursday visit straight ahead. First, Allie's got what's happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I told you that starting tomorrow, A Star is Born will be in theaters for 1 week. With 12 whopping minutes of additional footage, including Lady Gaga's a cappella rendition of Shallow, as well as a clip of her and Bradley Cooper penning a song, Clover.
And do we need all of that?
I don't know. But
I mean, Jensen's going.
Jensen,
they
know. He's already got his tickets.
Yeah, insane. I'm reporting back to my Star is Born website about what the 12 minutes are, so I have to go.
Yeah, you have to. Are you president now? Did they bump you up? Or?
No, VP, but okay. I'm going to kill the president.
Yeah,
so.
Excellent.
Wait, I should probably. No, I'm going to kill the president of our fan club.
That's so much better.
Oh, boy. Should have finished it. Oh, boy.
Hold on. I'm calling the Secret Service.
Hey, oh, boy.
Good Lord.
Getting a busy signal.
All right.
Really, they're busy.
Here's the thing. Lady Gaga was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. And, of course, like any good talk show host / journalist / guy that ate a piece of bacon that was pinned to a wall for a very long time, Jimmy Kimmel asked what we all wanted to know. Is there any chance that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper were doing a little more than acting?
You had such a connection with Bradley that instantly, and I guess this is a compliment, people started saying like, "Oh, they must be in love."
Okay. First of all, like social media, quite frankly, is the toilet of the internet.
Yes, it is.
It's just like And what it has done to pop culture is just, like, abysmal. And, yes, people saw love, and guess what? That's what we wanted you to see.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is a love song, Shallow. The movie, A Star is Born, it's a love story. We worked so hard. We worked all week on that performance. And from a performance perspective, it was so important to both of us that we were connected the entire time. I mean, look, I've had my arms wrapped around Tony Bennett for 3 years touring the world. I mean, like, when you're singing love songs, that's what you want people to feel.
Are you having an affair with Tony Bennett? Be honest.
Amazing.
That's great.
Oh, I loved it so much. By the way, she did say no to the affair with Tony Bennett. So don't run with that, anybody. Yeah.
Oh, because you thought she may have no answered?
Yeah.
She said,
by the way, they also on Kimmel last night presented plaques to Lady Gaga for achieving 4 million album sales for A Star is Born and 2 billion streams for the soundtrack.
Hmm. Oh, yeah?
It's a hit.
Mm-hmm. Allie had that as her
that
next.
Was my next.
You're
going to
mention that? I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. No,
but I do have some other figures, because this to me is astounding. The first figures are in, and according to Billboard, her opening run of 11 shows that she's doing in Las Vegas grossed $16 million and sold just over 59,000 tickets at the Park Theater at Park MGM.
Wow.
That means she's making an average of $1.4 million per show. That's higher than the first leg totals of other pop stars' residencies. So one show is higher than first leg totals.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Unbelievable.
It's a ton of money.
I mean, I sure want to see it.
Absolutely. And as a result of her new Las Vegas grosses, Gaga's career total gross for live performances has now passed the $500 million mark. Only four other women have earned that much or more in concert revenue in their careers.
You guys want to guess?
Yeah, can you guess?
Debbie Gibson?
That was out of the blue, no.
Oh, Violet.
File. Wait, what was the question again? Who else has had a...
What other four women have earned that much or more in concert revenue in their careers?
Madonna.
Barbra Streisand?
Nope.
Taylor.
Bean has got Madonna. Yes, $1.3 billion. Taylor Swift, $935 million.
Mariah?
Nope.
Oh, I'm bad at this.
Good guess, though.
Do I hate women?
No, I don't think that's what it means, but you do.
Who am I? What other stadium-sized act am I forgetting?
Exactly. What are you doing?
Beyonce, of course.
Yes!
Yeah, I should have that. Dang it.
But you are missing the number two person, and I bet if you really thought about it and really thought about Las Vegas, you could figure it out.
Oh, Celine Dion.
Yeah. $1 billion right there.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. Good to be them, you guys.
It really is.
It really is.
Imagine what it would be like to have a talent that people would pay for.
My God, I can't even fathom that.
I mean, you know, we know that we have listeners, and God bless you and thank you, but it's because we're free.
100%.
I mean, look, we get it. We don't. We're not. There are no delusions here. We're free. That's why you're listening. Okay?
Over 30 years, you're a routine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But these people are have the kind of talent that someone will shell out big bucks and travel to go to.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's a whole other level.
Has a fan ever gotten a Kevin and Bean tattoo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, got a Rodney tattoo. We had a listener with a Rodney tattoo.
Oh,
who else, Chip? Did someone ever get a Kevin and Bean? I don't think so.
Yeah, I do remember the Rodney one, but I don't think an actual Kevin and Bean tattoo. No.
Something to strive for.
Okay.
Is it?
I mean, you're pretty free and loose with your tattoos.
Yeah,
I am. That's true. I could get a K and B tattoo.
Maybe you're the guy. Put us right there next to Ice Cube on your other half of your chest.
I'm sure my wife will like it just as much.
Good Lord. Well, we're talking about how it's good to be Gaga and Beyonce and Madonna, but it's also real good right now to be Rami Malek. Apparently, he's up for final talks to play the villain in 007, the next James Bond film, Bond 25. Producers have been trying to nab him for months in this role. So, I mean, it's good to be him.
Yeah.
Good to be him. Yeah.
He's kind of dope.
Is he? Cool. No. All right.
Oh, no. A new drop. Oh, boy.
The release date for Bond 25 was recently pushed back. So, if you are super stoked on seeing Daniel Craig returning as 007... in Bond 25, it will be out April 8th of 2020. Who's your favorite Bond, Bean? I don't think we ever talked about that.
I don't know that this is a popular opinion, but I think Daniel Craig is my favorite Bond.
Oh, I think he's up there for a lot of people.
I really do. He's phenomenal. He reinvented that character, modernized it, and I think he's brilliant in that role.
It's hard to not say Connery, though.
It is.
I think you have to.
Those movies are so dated, but he's the coolest person ever caught on film.
And I think he defined it a lot more than even Roger Moore. Yeah,
absolutely.
His hands are so small.
No, that doesn't seem important.
Weird. Okay. All right.
How about you? You've seen two movies. Who's your favorite?
I have seen both Daniel Craig in one Bond film, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 8. What was that?
What?
Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Casino Royale. Saw that one. And then I saw Sean Connery in Goldfinger. And I'll tell you right now, I like Goldfinger more. I thought it was so campy and silly and wonderful and just... I mean, it harkens back to that. It's such a different time in those movies. Like, at one point in the pool scene, he's going to talk to his friend, and a woman comes up in her bathing suit, and he goes, "Go away, the men are talking." And he smacks her on the butt, and I'm just like, "Holy crap!"
Different times.
You say different times. I say the good old days.
But I have been told that from people that really know me that they think that Roger Moore would be my favorite, so I have to give those a chance.
But I think he's a little shady.
Roger Moore?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're being honest, Sean Connery.
He is
a prolific, if you will, liar and killer and murderer.
Hmm. Oh, I didn't know any of that. Okay.
He's kind of dope.
I mean, that guy, he's got some weird takes for sure. All right, some birthdays for you. We've got John Turturro, Gilbert Gottfried, and Allie Larder.
We always look forward to our weekly visit with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
I don't even think he's a doctor.
I think we pretty much established that he is a doctor. And Dr. Drew, first of all, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
It's always a pleasure. I'm good.
Second of all, Jensen knew Brody Stevens pretty well. You run in a circle with lots of comedians in your various podcast endeavors. Had you run across Brody at all?
I have, quite a bit.
It would be impossible if you're around L.A. and like comedy to not have run into Brody.
Yeah, good dude.
Well, people would come to me with concerns about Brody for a long period of time. I think one of it was even, there was something like on a podcast once they stuck me in to try to confront him about his denial and his lack of willingness to follow medical direction and this kind of stuff, because his bipolar 1 disorder was severe.
Yeah.
And he would get on these manic states, and in manias, people lose their insight, they lose their willingness to, they feel inflated, they feel like great, and then it flips into psychosis. And that doesn't feel so good anymore.
For folks who don't know Brody Stevens, it was a very sad loss to the L.A. comedy community. He took his own life earlier this week at just 48 years old. And one of the things that Allie pointed out, because she followed him on social media, was what? That last Periscope you saw from him, Allie, that raised some eyebrows for you.
He would always do Periscopes, and he would walk, and people would just write things into him. And he's always been very open about his struggles. But in this last one, he talked about how he was off of medication for quite some time, and he just had gotten back on Lexapro, what wound up just being 4 days prior to when he killed himself. And I was wondering, he said, you know, trying to level out, I'm trying to get things, you know, back to normal.
He was asking people who were watching, too, is this normal? Is it normal? Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it? That type of thing. And I thought, my God, how long does it take once you are off medication and you get back on to even level out? Are you ever really leveled out at that point?
And, or is it a case of constant adjustments the entire run that you have with any depressants?
It's like a brittle diabetic. Think about it that way. It's a very delicate biology. And I'm glad we're having this conversation because, unfortunately, when there's a suicide, people fall into these patterns of discussion about depression. And the issue of bipolar disorder gets sort of left out. Mm-hmm. And bipolar disorder is very common. There's two types, bipolar 1, bipolar 2. Bipolar 2, very common, but it's not as severe and dangerous as bipolar 1, where people have true manic episodes. And one of the little kept secrets about bipolar 1 is bipolar 1 patients are significantly more likely to kill themselves when they are manic than when they are depressed. Mm. So one of the concerns about Brody is, did that Lexapro throw him into a mania and he impulsively did something? That would be one possibility. The other issue, I had heard he was started on lamotrigine or Lamictal, which is exactly the medicine he should have been on, and the kinds of medicine he always resisted getting on. That medicine takes months to get to proper therapeutic levels. So that's my concern, was it was too little, too late. A tiny dose of Lexapro just throws a floor under the depression. But what he really needed was a mood stabilizer, which he'd finally gotten to. I don't know his history to know whether he'd been on stuff before. I know he'd always resisted that.
When you have patients, doctor, and it is clear to you that they need antidepressants, are you just guessing? Are you just throwing whatever against the wall to see what works?
No more so than when you look at an pneumonia and you don't have cultures and you just look at the features clinically and you make a choice for the antibiotic most likely to cover the syndrome associated with the bacteria's most likely to cause that particular pneumonia, let's say, or that skin infection. We don't have objective data very often when we start treatment. And with psychiatry, there's little objective data that they can collect other than the mental status examination and then the judgment built on clinical experience. I try not to prescribe psychotropic medication. I mean, when I always had an interest in mental health, and when I was a resident, I started moonlighting in a psychiatric hospital. I ended up spending the next 35 years working in that psychiatric hospital, and I thought I understood psychiatry. I recognized within a few months of arriving at that hospital, I did not. And after 30 years there, I still always have a psychiatric colleague consult if we're going to use psychotropic medication, because they have the experience to really parse out what someone's unique biology is and therefore what the biological intervention is likely to be most effective without dangerous side effects. And unfortunately, the predominant prescribers in our country are primary care doctors, and they don't have any – they really don't have any training in this area. It drives me crazy. I mean, as someone, again, spent 30 years in a psych hospital, I know a bit about psychiatry, and I know I should not be prescribing without a psychiatrist.
Drew, you brought up mania, and I have a question because I watched that Periscope. And Brody, you know, we consider manic to be something we would notice immediately. But yet in that video, he's so calm, and he just seems actually – A little down version of him. And it's so funny because I think people don't understand the term manic in that way because he killed himself about an hour or two later. Like, what is it? What is it that you're looking for in those kind of cases for a friend who just changed medication?
In terms of flipping towards mania, it depends on the kind of bipolar. I mean, some people it's very hard to tell. Mm-hmm. They can have mixed states where they look depressed and manic at the same time. But fundamentally, if their speech speeds up, if their thoughts are sort of rapid and inflated, one of the characteristic statements I hear bipolar patients say when I know they're flipping into mania, they'll go, "I figured it out." They'll just announce, "I figured it out." It's this sense of all knowing, all being, and then they can start to get very agitated and irritable, and start saying things that don't make sense and thoughts don't connect, and then they can really get wild after
okay.
that.
Here's my final question, because, you know, we live in the age of antidepressants. Half the people I know, half the people in this room are on antidepressants. Is this one of those things that has now become overprescribed by doctors? Do as many of us need this as we feel we do?
Very challenging question. I think two things jump out at me when you ask that question. One is, I'm betting a primary care doctor is prescribing most of these antidepressants you're talking about, and that bothers me. You need a expert opinion about what you're doing, and that should be a psychiatrist, not an internist or a family practitioner, number one. Number two, we are way over whatever word you want to use. We use pills too much. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Way, way, way. We have lost track of the concept of ordinary misery. Ordinary misery. Life kind of sucks sometimes. And guess what? When you learn how to grit through that and to navigate it and find your way out, you learn something and you grow.
I've been nailing that.
What's that?
I've been nailing that.
The misery?
I think of you when I make that statement.
Thank you, Drew.
When you think misery, think Allie McKay.
So what you're saying is we've lost the incentive, maybe the effort to try to just cope with bad things, and we just try to cover up those feelings.
Well, I'm not sure it's that simple. I let me just tell you a quick, very quick story. As I was raised by a family practitioner, a physician, my dad, he always beat into me that medications were dangerous. Medications were dangerous. I remember the first time I took an antibiotic, I was 15, and he goes like, "Okay, here we go. Who knows where this is going to go? This stuff's dangerous." And I've always had a dramatic respect for pharmacology. It's to be used only when the risks are really worth it. And we have become conditioned to the idea that pills help make life better or are going to solve all our problems. No, that's not the case. They are when you have a medical illness for which the risk is worth it. And it should be dealt with accordingly. You see consultants. You manage carefully. You get off the medicines as soon as you can. And that's it. Don't look to medicines as the solution to everything. Now, having said that, bipolar 1 is a genetic disorder for which the medicines are key in survival and stability. And so part of the problem there is people get into denial and lack of insight. And unfortunately, we can't do anything when the symptoms of the condition prevent us from treating them.
As always, Dr. Drew has tremendous insight, and that's why we invite him on every week. You can go to drdrew.com for all the podcasts, including the Dr. Drew podcast, Adam and Dr. Drew, Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood, and the new red-hot Dr. Drew After Dark with Tom Segura, which people are just loving, Doc.
Yeah, they love that one. It's a sort of a Loveline reboot, they're saying.
Also, Dr. Drew Midday Live, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And don't forget, you can download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play to see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. Good talk, Doc. Thanks for Jensen. Mm-hmm. You say there's no good rock music anymore, as if local H isn't still together and performing. I'm just saying,
breaking.
It doesn't get any better.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Copacetic, you guys. Stop it.
Hey, I see what you did there. Hey, Allie, it's time for What's Happening. So what's happening?
Well, I'm about to play some new Morrissey for you guys. Yeah, new Morrissey. He's set to release a pretty eclectic new covers album. It's coming out on May 24th. It's called California Sun. And I have to say that if the rest of these songs, all 12, are anything like this one, it's real good. It's real good. What's going on is he does a cover that was just released of Roy Orbison's 1964 song called It's Over. You want to hear a little?
Sure,
very much do.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Doesn't sound like the rest of the
stuff. I'm not going to lie. I'd be into that. Anybody that drops that song, it's real good.
Can I play the real song?
If you could, Bean. Thank
please,
you.
If you don't mind, because I don't like... I mean, I have Morrissey interrupt this right now because
absolutely.
I'm so excited to hear this cover.
Yeah.
That's his falsetto. That's actually Wing.
That's not Morrissey either.
I had it on Morrissey. I might have it though for reals. Because it says new Morrissey song.
Okay.
On it, so this is
okay.
It.
Okay. All right.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming out in May. Very strange, Morrissey. Yeah.
Yeah. Blah 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 blah. Morrissey.
That's just the Batman theme.
Where do you record that?
That's a pug. That's a pug who's doing the Batman. Remember, that's this guy.
Morrissey does love animals.
He really does. All right, you guys. I think we really do have Morrissey's cover of Roy Orbison's It's Over.
Is pretty great.
Yeah, it's probably the best choice of a voice that he could somewhat emulate, but it's also just that's pure Moz right there.
And I love the production, the big orchestral production behind him, too. It's very, very much like the original, but it's a perfect fit for his voice. Well
done. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, California Sun, due out on May 24th. You can pre-order it now if you're so inclined. Guys, huge news. Jonas Brothers are back. They've announced the release of their new single, Sucker, for basically tonight at midnight is when it's going to go down. But then they're going to do a week-long takeover on The Late Late Show with James Corden beginning on March 4th. They are not tools of Satan.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
I don't know if we're saying that. It's just
Satan.
Just three brothers that loved each other, made some music, then went their separate ways. They're coming back.
Nick Jonas is so cute.
He's pretty dreamy. They're also going to do carpool karaoke.
And they're from Canada.
No, they're not. Is that it?
It's a pretty cool song, don't you think?
We'll see. We'll see it midnight tonight.
Tempo positive song.
Called Sucker.
Thank God I'm not with these people. Thank God they're falling. Thank God they're failing. And thank God humanity's rising.
Okay. I'm just telling you that the Jonas Brothers are back together, you guys.
Why?
Well, a lot of people have a lot of thoughts on the Jonas Brothers, Allie.
Do you care?
I mean, me personally? No.
Why?
Well, I was never into the Jonas Brothers.
That's what they are. They're losers.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm
bastards.
Saying there's an absolute place for the Jonas Brothers, and they have a lot of fans, and a lot of people are super excited that they're getting back together, and they're going to get new music.
Good at pooping?
I mean, I don't know. Is that documented somewhere? Possibly. I think we're all pretty good at pooping.
Why?
Well, it's everybody poops. It's just something that we should all do. But yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. So carpool karaoke and everything.
They never fail to disappoint.
That's harsh, Bean, and I don't know why you would say that. However, a lot of people saying, wait, how did Jonas Brothers get back together before One Direction? Like all those One Direction heads, they're now extra upset.
It's about money, in case anyone. Yeah, just concerned. One of them needs wondering. Money, and the other doesn't. Yeah.
By the way, isn't one of them married to Priyanka Chopra?
Yeah.
That one doesn't need money.
No, that one's fine. Except the idea that they sold like 7 different sets of wedding photos and seemed to have 4 million interviews. I was very weirded out by the amount of press it appears they sold out for their wedding. But yeah.
Okay.
I know one of them just kind of went away. He wanted to be a dad, have his wife do that thing. Mm-hmm.
That was Biff.
Okay.
That was Biff Jonas.
And then one was in DNCE.
That was Gloomer.
He's
the man who invented Booyah.
So the one that married the woman.
Priyanka Chopra.
Is that the one that is the one
that's
in
Smitty.
Dance?
That's Smitty.
Gunther. But is he the one that's in the band as
no.
well?
No. He's the founder of ISIS. Oh. He's the founder of ISIS.
Well, I don't think
she'd marry that. The bonus Jonas is the youngest one, and that's Stiffy.
Stiffy. So Stiffy, Gunther, Biff, and...
Gloomer.
They white.
I hate all of you.
I think we got a lot of information out of this story.
I'm glad that you guys know so much about
them. There are more brothers than people think. Because people only know the 3 or 4, but there's...
Right.
Oh, my God. Do you know about Donkey?
No.
It's not a person. It's a donkey.
But they think of him like a brother?
Yes. And they named him Donkey.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Donkey? But Donkey's such a good dude.
But it's not a guy. It's just
a donkey.
Like a guy.
Not born to them, but they've taken it on as a brother.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's strange to have a pet.
Oh, my God, they're so good.
Named Donkey. Anyone else?
Soupy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Soupy's the youngest.
Yeah, he just loves soup.
He's so young.
Yeah.
Just young forever.
Real, like he's for hell!
He's never growing up. He's got that disorder. You're just, yeah.
No, backwards. Okay.
Backwards.
He has Benjamin Button's disease, but backwards.
Okay.
So he's growing normal.
They still got it.
All right, I think we've established everything.
Why do some people tune out?
We haven't even gotten into Lava Jonas.
Lava.
Another brother.
Hot.
They're assholes.
Let's talk about something awful. Something awful right now.
Something else. I don't care if it's awful or great. Just something else.
Beat it.
A real bummer that was breaking news this morning is that Luke Perry reportedly suffered a major stroke. And he's at the hospital right now. That's why I'm like, this isn't great that I'm doing this. But yeah, not good. Not good at all, you guys. Again. Nope. He's currently under observation at the hospital. Let me move on to a different story.
Please.
Do you like slippers?
You could have went with that one first.
Shut up.
That was more of a transition.
I didn't turn the page.
Oh
I had
God.
This just waiting. So Justin Bieber is turning 25 tomorrow, right? So here's the thing. He's getting a day named in his honor. How does this all tie into slippers? Hotels.com noticed Justin's love for hotel slippers.
Sure.
Not only is he often photographed wearing them, he has a $1,500 mink pair by Louis Vuitton.
Hmm.
And he also sells his own brand of hotel slippers under his clothing line, House of True. So Hotels.com has now gotten March 1st officially declared National Hotel Slipper Day. And that's for Justin to thank him for his passion over the years for rocking hotel slippers in any capacity and giving them a platform to shine.
That's a very desperate attempt to glom onto Justin Bieber's celebrity.
Yeah. Listen, I just told you all about Hotels.com.
Yep.
That's usually his dad's job to glom on.
Right.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Sarah Hyland from Modern Family. She's often having to stand up for herself on social media. She'll post something. People will come after her. And it's usually pretty cuckoo stuff. But she posted a shot of herself on Sunday in a gown at the Vanity Fair Oscar party and captioned the post, "Fun fact, I'm wearing 2 pairs of Spanx. Why dye it when you can just hide it?" And of course, people came after her like, excuse me, you're totally skinny. You shouldn't be wearing Spanx. What are you doing? And then other people that said,
you've been very transparent about your problems gaining weight. Why are you now confusing people with this post and da-da-da? And one of my favorite responses, maybe you're a little too skinny. Here, have a sandwich. So she, of course, had to take to Twitter to defend herself, explaining that double Spanx were deployed to hide a bulge in her lower abdomen from her kidney transplant.
Yeah, you can't talk like that to people who've had transplants.
Yeah, so she wrote back and said, when you have two kidney transplants and are on steroids for the rest of your life, maybe get back to me. Here's an idea, people. Stop it. Just stop. Stop it. Who's with me?
No, I'm down for stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we do spend too much time commenting or even caring about other people's appearance when it's really not what's important. Except in Priyanka Chopra's case, when it's very important.
You're right. And she's referring to which one? Buzzy?
Junkie.
Oh,
Junkie.
I'm not getting into that again. I'm just saying. Right. Yeah, I'm glad she set the record straight on that. And I hope those people felt terrible that had commented on her post.
Way to take this down. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I did that right after a great little segment. Could have been a good out. Still learning.
You guys know about feline AIDS? You want to bring up more sad stuff? Jesus.
Remember Rachel Dratch?
That was one of the Debbie Downers.
Oh, good times. It's also a wonderful outtake from Talladega Nights, them talking about feline AIDS. Wow.
It's a real killer.
It's good stuff. Hey, some birthdays for you. Allie Larder. Gilbert Gottfried, John Turturro, and that's what's happening.
It is. Thank you, Allie. A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. You got it, thanks to a random act of helpfulness
what
from the SoCal
What is happening?
You said you got it again in
you
the same
You did it
Brody
just
thing.
Like Brody, just like Kevin did it.
I can't good. Help you. I'm sorry. Tomorrow on an all-new program, I think it's going to be a good one, you guys, because we have your final chance at passes for both of the great Marvel events that we are participating in. Monday morning super-secret event with the cast, including Clark Gregg, Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, and others. You get to help interview them. That's at the Captain Marvel Rocks event Monday morning at a super secret location. Performances by Bush and L7 because the movie is set in the 90s. You also get a chance to see the movie on Tuesday night ahead of its opening everywhere on Friday. So we have that for you in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. We have a new Bean Makes Us Guess on the program tomorrow.
Okay.
It has been a while. Also, by now, if you're on the internet, you have seen what happens if you undertip a man delivering salsa to your home. Mm. We will discuss that tomorrow.
Balsa, am I right?
You are indeed right. We'll discuss that tomorrow. We'll find out what awful things people have done to food. And the very talented Chloe Grace Moretz will be here as well. That's all tomorrow. Right.